Amen. We're turning now in the Word of God to the book of Romans, Paul's epistle to the Romans, and to the chapter 12. And you can have a look at the title on screen, and then as we read down, you can work out, well, where are we going with this? So, Romans 12 and the verse 1. For those that are tuned in over the internet, don't see the screen up on screen at the moment, is the title tonight, Keep the Home Fires Burning. And we're reading Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. May the Lord himself add his blessing unto the reading of his word in our hearing tonight. We are turning to the little phrase that you find in verse 11. Middle of it, fervent in spirit. Fervent in spirit. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And that centerpiece will be our text tonight. Keep the home fires burning is a very famous British patriotic First World War song. It was composed back in 1914 by Ivor Novello, with words coming in from Lena Ford. The song first appeared under the title, Not Keep the Home Fires Burning, but rather one of the lines in there, the final one, Till the Boys Come Home. And the first release was on the 8th of October 1914. But then the next year, a new edition was released, and in 1915 it came out under the title that we know only too well now, Keep the Home Fires Burning. And it became very popular, took on a real life of its own during the First World War. Together, often it would have been sung with It's a Long Way to Tipperary. And I guess on this Remembrance Day, it's appropriate that we make some reference to that. Part of the song goes, they were summoned from the hillside, they were called in from the glen, and the country found them ready at the stirring call for men. Let no tears add to their hardships as the soldiers pass along, and although your heart is breaking, make it sing this cheery song. Keep the home fires burning while your hearts are yearning. Though your lads are far away, they dream of home. There's a silver lining through the dark clouds shining. Turn the dark cloud inside out till the boys come home. And I thought about that. It was a kind of a backdrop, and an interesting backdrop, to the text of Scripture to which we have turned tonight in this 12th chapter of the book of Romans. And you will know, I'm sure, that in Romans 12 we have got very fertile soil for any Bible student. Really rich territory. But right in the middle of the chapter, you've got a whole series of exhortations, a cluster of them coming in the center part of this chapter. And so it's one of those exhortations that we're looking at in particular tonight, this line, fervent in spirit. And the point, obviously, that we're going to emphasize is this: the Christian life must be characterized by fervency. Now, if you're looking for an explanation of this term, fervency, the margin of your Bible will probably indicate it means to boil over. So there's that kind of heat. It's not latent heat, it is active heat. And it's all ablaze here, it's caught fire, and it's boiling right over. Or you could render it, keep the spiritual glow. And how necessary that is to do in our own individual Christian lives. Or be aglow with the Spirit. And when I think of that, I think immediately of John the Baptist, who was a burning and a shining light. He was keeping the spiritual glow alive in his life, and he was aglow by means of the Holy Spirit of God. When anyone receives the Holy Spirit into their lives, becomes a Christian, therefore, that fire is lit in their heart by the Spirit of God. By nature, we don't have this fire. The fire that we have by nature, of course, is one that is a fire of sin, that is consuming our members with lust. But the Holy Spirit of God, he doesn't come and he finds some kind of a divine spark somewhere that he fans up into a flame, because when he comes, there is no divine spark at all present in the heart of the natural man. But at conversion, with the implantation of new life, there is that fire that begins the fire of a new life. And maybe since last Wednesday evening, we kind of began looking at a number of texts, we'll do something similar tonight by turning, first of all, to 1 John chapter 5 and the verse 12. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12. This is what happens when the Spirit of God comes into our souls. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And so when God's Spirit comes into you and I, he ignites the fire of a new life. Not only that, there's also the fire of a new love. And if you want to backtrack into the book of Romans a little bit, into Romans chapter 5 and to the verse 5, Romans 5 and 5, we read there, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And the term there, shed abroad, is it is poured out. Or if you want to take the kind of language we're looking at tonight, it is fired up within our souls. The fire of a new life, the fire of a new love, and not only that, but the fire of a new light. Where do we go for that? The book of Ephesians, and the chapter 5 and the verse 8 is what we're looking at there. Ephesians 5 and the 8th verse, and that reads, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And so we have it. With the entrance of the Holy Spirit into our heart, we have this new life, this new love, and this new light that comes in to us. So as the children of God, we are now obtaining fire. Fire of life, fire of love, and the fire of light. But here's where the challenge comes in, where the rubber hits the road for us tonight and every day that we live. We must maintain this fire. It must be kept alight. Any fire, if you neglect it, it's going to burn low and burn down and reduce to embers, and you come back into the room sometime later and there is virtually nothing there at all. And isn't that true in our own spiritual experience? We can neglect it, we can lose the flame, we can operate in disobedience, going the opposite way to which God would want us to go, and we can lose that fiery flame and just degenerate down into what is but a dull, smoky kind of a Christian life. And that we must avoid at all costs. You will know, I will know, and surely we fear it happening to us, Christians out there, and their testimony is pretty much ineffective today. Their spiritual life, they will probably admit it themselves, is at a very low ebb. Their testimony has no traction in the community at all. And what a tragedy that is. So how do we guard against that? What path must we take? What actions must we perform? What need we pray to make sure we have this fervency in spirit that Romans 12:11 is emphasizing? Well, first of all, if we are to preserve the flame and encourage it, we need regular removal. We need regular removal. And what I'm talking about is, let's take the terms of a fire in your hearth and grate at home. And maybe at this time of the year you're thinking, time to stoke the fire up again. Or maybe you've got rid of that and you've only got a gas glow or something else now. But you have to take out the ash, the dust, the slate, the soot, and even clinkers. And I'm just looking around to see if anyone can identify with that term, because it wouldn't be often used now. And even though we can say before God, "I am saved tonight," it is more than possible for these things to be in our lives, these dead things. And just like you rake out the fire after its use, so these must be regularly removed, raked out, so that we don't become lifeless and dull in our Christian life. We need to add fuel to the fire, and more fuel to the fire. But what good is the fuel going to do if everything there is choked up with ash and slate and dust and clinkers and soot? And some people, the children of God, you'll see them running off again and again. Not that you can do it now. Well, you shouldn't be able to do it now, really. But all of these extra meetings like conventions and conferences, and they're all good in their own way. But that's where they'll run to. Instead of closing the closet door and opening the Word and praying to our Father which is in heaven, and going through this exhausting, difficult process of raking out all the dead things. Our lives can never be right. They can never be aglow if they are choked by sin. And we'll never have any real victory until we've accepted God's verdict about ourselves, our own fallen nature, and until we reckon ourselves, as Paul the Apostle did, crucified with Christ, that we need to pray every day, "Lord, make this old flesh die some more today." Romans 6 and the verse 11. I mentioned a number of things like ash, and we're going to find these items sprinkled through the chapter in Romans chapter 12, because we can see there in verse 3 the ash of pride. What do we read there? "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." There are other verses in here, the same chapter, that deal with pride. I'll let you look for them later, but here's the ash of pride. And what Paul is saying here, it is so easy to overestimate ourselves, to inflate our abilities, to forget that we are what we are only by the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 15 and the verse 10, that we have nothing of ourselves, that we are nothing special left to ourselves. It is the grace of God that has made us what we are. Do you know what? That old pride will quench the fire. That old pride will stop the gloom. That pride will deaden any Christian life. It's a horrible thing. But not only the ash of pride is something to be reckoned with and raked out and removed, but the slate of hypocrisy. And you'll find that mentioned in, among other places, verse 9. "Let love be without dissimulation." And against the word dissimulation, if you have a letter there, I have one that takes me into the margin, and I find that one in the margin, the word hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy. Our love, in other words, must be sincere. It must be genuine. It mustn't just be masked by what we say with our lips. It must be the genuine expression of our hearts. And that inward experience, in other words, it must dovetail with and tally with our outward profession. If it doesn't, if there's disconnect between the two, we're on the ground of hypocrisy. And that'll stop the fire burning. Ash, the ash pride, the slate of hypocrisy, not only that, but the dust of laziness. And that's mentioned here as well in the verse 11. Not slothful in business. Right before the verse, or the words in the verse we're looking at tonight, fervent in spirit, we have not slothful in business. That is lagging behind in our diligence. The king's business can't accommodate lazy servants. Otherwise, they need to be set aside and someone else will take their place. Now, how many are involved today in whatever way we can in this business of reaching out to the souls of men around us? Not slothful in our business, in the Lord's business. The dust of laziness needs to be removed, as must be the clinker of disunity. And if somebody's sitting here thinking, "I'm too young to have any idea what that thing clinker might be," it's all that kind of a regular lump of material that's fused together after the coal has been burned. Now, it can be used, this word clinker, to maybe describe a musical performance. Oh, he or she, no reference to you here, Peter, so don't take offense, hit a real clinker there, big jarring note or a set of them. Or you might say, it's something of inferior quality or something that is conspicuous in terms that failed miserably, and you might be talking about a clinker of a show or right now, a clinker of a sermon. Clinkers. Look at verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Be of the same mind one toward another. 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And you can flesh out and follow the line of that thought right through the chapter here, because there are several references to this unity that we need to have among the children of God. And if we are going to keep our fire burning and be an influence for good upon our fellow Christians, then we need to have that unity. And there's one thing that really takes the wheels of the Church of Jesus Christ and means of our plowing in through furrows in the soil and making a real mess of things. It is when we have disunity amongst us. That's why we have in Psalm 133 that how blessed it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And that subject is dealt with here. And also something else to be taken out that will disturb the effectiveness of the fire, that will not allow it to be as fervent in spirit as we need to be, the suit of dishonesty. The suit of dishonesty. And look at verse 17 for that recompense. To no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Be above reproach. Don't have lies sticking to you. Don't be riddled by falsehoods or be spewing them out, because that will bring that soot into your fire and the brightness will go. Here's what needs to be taken away. There needs to be regular removal. Lord, do that work in me and make me pliable and ready for it to be done. But then another thing, to keep the glow here, the fire burning, there needs to be a steady supply. A steady supply. We need coal. We need the right kind of coal. Bad coal doesn't burn brightly on any fire. The wrong kind of fuel will not feed or will not nourish, will not sustain the child of God, and it will not have our spiritual lives in the place where we need to have them. Some people might go for something most inferior. Not the best coal, but lignite, as opposed to anthracite. And anybody that's into the selling of coal will tell you, well, lignite, kind of brown coal, lowest grade, highest concentration of carbon in it, or least concentration of carbon in it, as opposed to anthracite, which has the highest. And it will ignite slowly, that anthracite, the best coal, ignites slowly. There'll be less loss of heat with its burning. It'll be highly efficient. 80 to 95% carbon in there, very little volatile matter there, and a pretty small amount of moisture in that kind of anthracite coal. And as you will know looking at it, a kind of semi-metallic luster to this kind of coal. And so we can go for the best or we can go for the worst to burn. God's best coal is in plentiful supply for every child of God, and it will cause our fire to burn, and it will cause us to glow for Him. And the best coal is the Word of God. And so if you want to turn to one text, you'll find it in Psalm 119 and in the verse 50. Psalm 119 and the verse 50, it's worth checking in at in terms of what we're thinking about now. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. And that word quickened is to give me life. It has stoked up the fire. It has caused me to glow. Thy word, even in affliction. Maybe the psalmist is thinking, especially so in affliction. Thy word has quickened me. And when we are feeding as a child of God upon the word of God, we will become a brightly burning, we'll become a radiant, a fruitful Christian. But this much is guaranteed. When you turn your back on the word, and when you miss out reading and study for a day, and then 2 days, and then three, and then you sort of think, I know enough about the word of God that I don't need to study it at all. I can get by. Just a little read here and a little read there. When we neglect the Bible, and when we start feeding on that cold material of worldliness, and you'll see that in verse 2 of Romans chapter 12, just to point it out on the way through. When our activity is not inspired and fueled by the Holy Spirit of God, we will be an ineffective Christian. We won't be making inroads for God. So there must be that regular, prayerful feeding upon the Word of God. It's the only way to grow, and it's the only way to glow. Of course, there are a couple of ways to feed a fire. You can pile everything on at the one time. You know the way whenever you're told, maybe as a younger person, mom or dad send you out to the garage or the coal bunker or whatever, and you're thinking, why do I have to do this? Why is this my lot in life? Who likes doing this kind of a job? And you bring it in and you just pile it all on. There you go, and before you know it, you've smothered the fire, and it's really struggling to burn. Or you can do it the slow method, and you get the tongs out, and you put one big coal on, and then another one, and you keep it going, and you feed it steadily, and you feed it more slowly. And if you do it by that method, you'll find it works the best by far. Can't we apply that analogy to the Christian life? Sometimes people attend meetings, and of course you should attend meetings, but just to be fed in bulk format. The other way, get alone with God. Top up what you get in the regular public addresses in the Lord's house. Get alone with Him and pray, Lord, I've got your word open. I need fed. Feed my soul today, and may my person become burning and aglow. Let's not be spoon-fed or bucket-fed or shovel-fed Christians, just piling it on here and then not having it for quite some time, but to put it on with the tongs day by day. Our daily bread, give us this day our daily bread. There has to be a steady supply, constant coming to the right kind of material and fuel. How do we burn for God? Well, there has to be this steady supply. And also, there have to be conducive conditions. Conducive conditions. You're getting a fire to go, you need plenty of air and a good draft. And if you want to glow and grow as a Christian, and if you want to shine as a light and show life and be burning for Christ, you need plenty of good air and draft. And the Christian's need of air and the Christian's vital breath is prayer. Prayer. That's what makes a Christian glow. How vital. How attractive, how winsome are those Christians who have come straight from the secret place where they have met with God, alone with Him in the place of prayer, and what a blessing they are to others, and how God uses them to His glory. But there's another Christian, and he's full of dullness, and he hasn't got it in terms of spiritual understanding. And he doesn't perceive the problems that are around him, doesn't understand what to do when people come and say, I have a need, a spiritual need. When we're careless, when we're carnal, we'll be defeated and we'll be powerless Christians. And those are prayerless Christians. Let's see to it today. They were not those kind of a smoky Christian. Smoke getting in our eyes. Smoke going into the eyes of everybody else. Carping and criticizing and moaning and complaining, but doing nothing effective or good for God. Let's be glowing Christians, filled with the Holy Spirit. That is the only way that we will be fervent in spirit. The Spirit of God needs to come down, needs to breathe upon the Word, needs to fan it up into a flame, needs to kindle the fire of the Word in our hearts and minds, and then that Word will look for a vent to get out. And it will come from a burning, glowing Christian. Lord, confirm my heart's desire to work and speak and think for Thee. Still let me guard the holy fire and stir up Thy gift in me. Fervent, fervent in spirit. Let's bow in prayer. Do, and we have some points for prayer on the screen now. Give thanks to the Lord for His help last Lord's Day in our Remembrance Weekend. Look for power this weekend. Pray for the online mission that is planned for the Christmas week. Pray for the families now. Sadly, that line has changed dramatically from this time last week. We're now praying for the families of Dr. Alan Cairns, Billy McCulloch, etc. Pray for the revival of the church, salvation of the lost. That will not change. Pray for the situation in Armenia, taking another massive change there. And also America, big changes there since that. A lot has happened since we met here 1 week ago. Armenia, America, and we're putting in Lebanon as well, the ongoing situation there. Let's hold on to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou wilt teach us how to be fervent in spirit and help us to maintain. May it not be a flash in the pan, but help us maintain that fervency of spirit. Holy Spirit, we pray that Thou wilt come and ignite our hearts. O fire of God, fall upon us. Burn up the dross, burn up the chaff. Take away everything that needs to be removed. Give us that regular removal, and we've thought of a lot of things in this chapter that need to be raked out. And Lord, their inner lives, they need to be raked out regularly. And we need the steady source of supply from Thy Word. And we need that conducive atmosphere, which is the atmosphere of prayer. Come, Lord, lead us to Thy throne of grace in prayer tonight. We pray for the Cairns family, for the McCulloch family. Pray for other families that we may know of or have heard of and yet don't really know the individuals terribly well ourselves. The Thompson connection in Mount Merion as well. We would pray for them. Pray for others. We ask, Lord, that Thou wilt be with the situation in Armenia that has catastrophically developed since last we met, and also that in America. Pray for our brother Trabulsi in Lebanon and the work that he does and all others that help him. May they know the mercy and the grace of God at this time. And Lord, we would ask of Thee that as we look forward to the Christmas time, and many people we feel in society even right now are trying to breathe a bit of relief and look forward to something that they can rejoice in. And Lord, help us to make use of that time as they turn their eyes towards Christmas and hope for a good end to the year. May for some, may it be for many, that they will have the best end to a year they have ever enjoyed, in that they come to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith. And Lord, all those people that we've been praying for since lockdown and before, but especially at lockdown, we pray, Lord, that we will be able to make contact with every one of them again and pray them through before 2020 is over. Come and regenerate souls, revive thy church, and may the fire of God fall upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.